Let's begin reading in about verse number 9. Now the Bible is talking about all the things where the Lord had helped him and where the Lord had made him to prosper. And in verse number 9, we see some of the things that Uzziah has done. Moreover, Uzziah built in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved his husbandry. Amen. And verse number 14, let's just go ahead with number 11. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hanani, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. They were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out of thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning. We pray, Lord, that in your grace, Lord, that you would touch us again. I pray, Lord, that you would remove every obstacle, every hindrance. I pray, Lord, that we can challenge this people, that we can brighten the corner where we are. Lord, I pray, God, that our nation needs revival so, so badly. Lord, it's going to start individual at a time, one heart at a time, one life at a time, one parish at a time, one county at a time, maybe one state at a time. But, oh, God, we desperately need revival. We ask you to move in this place here this morning, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. I know that the end of Uzziah's story was not a good one. But previously before that, Uzziah was a great king. And I want to preach a few moments today, if the Lord would help me. I'd like to preach about Uzziah and America. Amen. Uzziah and America. There's a great parallel between this king and America. Uzziah was a king that did many great exploits. He won many battles. The Lord was with him. The Lord helped him. And the Bible said that the Lord even prospered him. But in verse number 15, or as we read about this monarch in 2 Chronicles 26, this man that God had helped, this man that God had prospered, we see that the end was that Uzziah began to transgress the commands of God. Now I know today that sin is the missing of a mark. And I know that only righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. I understand that transgression is this. It is when people move beyond the bounds of God's word. They no longer think God means what he says or says what he means. And they begin to live presumptuous lives. And we find that in the culture of the American people. And then there is that which is iniquity. And iniquity is when a man takes that which is straight and he twists it into that, amen, which is crooked. But I want to tell you, the Bible said here that Uzziah transgressed, amen, the commands of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, Uzziah here, the Bible said when he was strong, he lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed, there's that word again, against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. The king began to do even that which was not lawful. He became a law unto himself. If there's ever been a time that America was strong, it was after World War II. America had flexed her muscle, had brought the end of the world war, but it wasn't too long after that that America became strong and become haughty and became a even more so transgressors against the commands and the word of God. Are you hearing me? George Washington said this at his farewell address. George Washington was popular enough they could have made him king, Brother Tony. But he knew that they had come out of the king there under the king out of in Britain. And he didn't want that. He had wanted to establish a nation that could have liberty, amen, freedom of worship and religion. He did not see a church that was separated from the church or a state separated from the church. But he felt like they were two, amen, hand-in-hand things. He said in his farewell address, let's do away with the surmising and the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. He knew that if America was going to be good, America was going to have to stay with the Bible. America was going to have spiritual direction. But now, some 94 years, even in our day, 94 years ago, secular philosophy began to come into America. Secular humanism. The Bible was being downplayed. The Bible was, amen, being, belittled and being attacked in our higher universities, schools, and governments. Amen. Entertainment and the media begin to attack those virtues that made America great. And now look at America today. America has become very barbaric. Amen. We resemble, amen, countries, amen, that we used to say were heathen. But I'm telling you, in America, you look around at our society. You look at this generation that has been brainwashed. This generation that has been told the Bible doesn't matter. And that Christianity is a fable. And you look around and they look heathen. They're tattooed. Their body pierced. It is a culture of death. Even zombies and that type of stuff. It attracts this American culture. George Washington said a nation without religion cannot maintain its morality. Theodore Roosevelt said this. He said the things that destroy America are prosperity at any price, peace at any price, safety first instead of duty first, and the love of soft living and the get rich quick theory of life. Even does that sound familiar? Theodore Roosevelt, even though he was not a preacher, the presidents of long ago realized that if America was going to be great, America was going to have to be righteous. If America was going to be great, America would have to stay with the bedrock that made this nation great. And it was the foundation of this black book that I'm preaching from here to you this morning. Amen. John Witherspoon. Amen. He was absent during the drawing out of the Constitution. But they said John Witherspoon had a great influence. He signed the Declaration of Independence. You can go in my office there. I've got the Declaration. I looked it up myself. There is his name. He was a Presbyterian minister. Amen. The only one that signed on the Declaration of Independence. He became the president of what now we call Princeton University. Princeton, amen, that university of high learning. But he was a Presbyterian minister. He was the only pastor that signed that declaration, Brother Kurt. But he stood in the stream of that great Scottish preacher by the name of Samuel Rutherford. Samuel Rutherford lived from 1600 to 1661. Samuel Rutherford was known for what he had wrote in, and he wrote a pamphlet. It was called, or a book that was called, the Lex Rex. Amen. Now the Lex Rex meant this. Lex Rex meant law is king. Amen. A phrase at that time that was earth shaking. For at the time he wrote this book, people said Rex Lex, which meant the king is law. But he wrote this book, it was earth shaking. It caused an uproar. Amen. It caused a great shaking because Samuel Rutherford was preaching that the law is king and not the heads of government. Amen. He was saying the king cannot be a law unto himself. Amen. But the law is king, and the king is subject to that law. I want to tell you, friend, we are living in a day much like Uzziah. Amen. Our government has got bigger and bigger, and they're flexing their muscles, and they're taking more rights from us, the common people. Amen. And now politicians, it doesn't matter if they're Republican. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat. It doesn't matter. There may be a few, but most of them are in it for themselves. They are in it for their own agenda. They don't really care about you and I. Amen. Are you hearing me? They feel that they are a law unto themselves. Amen. Uzziah got that way. He thought, man, I'm a law unto myself. I'm going to take up the censer. I'm going to step in and I'm going to do that which is spiritual. I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to alter, amen, offer incense. Amen. And I'm going to do the priestly work. I want to tell you, the government, amen, is trying to be the spiritual, amen, regulator of this great nation. Amen. And our nation is going down. Are you hearing me? 94 years of being told that we come from monkeys, that there is no God, that there is no judgment, that there is no absolutes, that everything is relative. 94 years of that, and look around. Amen. The barbarians are not without. The barbarians are from within. They sit in the Capitol. Amen. They sit in the seats of the media. They sit in the entertainment world. Amen. And they hate anything that is Judeo-Christian. They hate anything that is like God. They want to stuff it out. They want to stomp it out. But I want to tell you, thank
God. Amen. God's going to have a church. Amen. Brother, you may think there's been nobody. It may only be the tabernacle. But I'm telling you, from Washington State to Florida, from Maine to California, amen, there is a church that has not bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. I may not know every one of them, but I do know this. Amen. God's going to have a church. God's going to have a witness. Amen. I know the American government has become big and it's transgressed against God.
They've looked at God and said marriage don't matter. Marriages can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. I'm going to tell you, the Bible still calls it sin. Amen. If they're listening over the iPhones that are in this building, amen, God still calls it sin. Amen. For mankind to lie with mankind of the same gender. Are you hearing me? And I'm not going to preach on that. But I'm telling you, you see what America's done. They took the place of God. And our lawmakers are trying to define to us what marriage is when the Bible has already defined it. Come on now. The Bible said thou shalt not kill. But they don't care, Brother Kurt. They've aborted 65 million babies. Even while this sexual, sensual, lascivious, wicked world, amen, they fornicate. Amen, amen, sex is no longer between a man and a woman. Amen, in the holy bonds of matrimony. But it has become a recreation. Amen, brother, that is a despicable. If it's outside the boundaries of God. Are you all with me? I'm telling you, we've got a government like Uzziah. They took the censer and said, we'll dictate what is right. And we'll dictate what is wrong. But I like this in verse number 17. Azariah. Amen, brother. Azariah the priest, and his name means Jehovah is keeper. Oh, glory to God. Azariah comes into the building. Amen. Right into the king after the king. With him 80 priests of the Lord. And the Bible said they were violent men. Amen. These weren't preachers that didn't have no backbone. These weren't preachers that were yellow-bellied. These weren't preachers that were afraid to preach against sin. They were violent men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Oh, come on now. They stood up and said, Uzziah, you can't do this. Amen. You've listened to Joel Osteen. Amen. Skirt the issue. It basically say, I'm not against anything. Amen. I'll go to a homosexual marriage. I'll do whatever I've got to do. I'm not against anything. You're not going to get me to commit. Azariah wasn't that kind of man. And those 80 priests that were with him, they withstood the king. And they said, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. Amen. And you know what Uzziah did? He got angry. He got mad. But they did not care. Amen. They knew the truth. Amen. And they knew Jehovah. Amen. He had prospered them and he had blessed them. They knew it was Jehovah that had made Uzziah strong and it was Jehovah that would bring him down. I want to tell you, here in America, America's not great. Amen. Because we're America. America was great because God blessed us. Amen. But brother and sister, we forgot God. We forgot his commandments. And I'm telling you, if we don't have revival, we're going to end up like Uzziah. Y'all here? Woo! Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Uzziah, amen. His reign is parallel with American history. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give honor where honor's due. Amen. Shay taught on this some years ago. Amen. I think she might have rehashed it over. It might have been her that I heard testifying. Amen. But she brought out the comparisons to me one day about the parallel between the United States of America's history and America's arrogancy. Amen. And this with Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Oh, think about that. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Let me tell you, that's the same about the tabernacle too. As long as we seek the Lord, He will cause us to prosper. Amen. That's the same in your life. As long as you seek the Lord, He will cause you to prosper. But the minute people begin to not think that God is necessary, they begin to think that really, amen, God is not necessary, amen, to seek. I won't tell you, friend, if you don't have a prayer life, you're not a Christian. Amen. I said, if you do not, I know there are days we may miss. I know that there are times we may pray longer than we do at other times. I understand that. But if you have no prayer life and you are prayerless, amen, you cannot be a Christian. Prayer to the Christian is like water to a fish. Are you hearing me? Amen. Listen to me. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Because when you're seeking the Lord, you will not become arrogant. When you seek the Lord, you will not become haughty. Amen. America was founded upon this Bible. Prayer was a vital part of our history. Read Benjamin Franklin when he called them together. It said, we met here and we prayed. And I am convinced that God, amen, amen, rules in the affairs of men. They were praying men. Our forefathers were. They came to find a land that they could settle where you could worship God in freedom. But today they're being stripped from us. We're not able to worship like we want to. We're not able to stand up like we need to. America's foundation being the Bible. I want to tell you, as long as Uzziah was seeking the Lord, God gave him the victory over the Philistines, over the Ammonites. His name was strengthened. Amen. His name spread. His army was strengthened. He built towers. He dug wells. He had much cattle. He become wealthy. He helped others. There's not a nation in the world that doesn't help others like America has. He had a mighty army, mighty weapons, built engines to shoot arrows and big stones. His name spread far abroad till he was marvelously helped and he was strong. I want to tell you, here in America, we've built towers. We've got them everywhere. We've sent satellites. Come on now. XM radio, satellite radio, towers. Amen, brother. We all got cell phones that bounce off them towers. I'm going to tell you something. They are our friends today, but they may be our foes tomorrow. Are you hearing me? America has prospered. We've got plenty to eat. Amen. We feed the world. But you know, think about, amen, really, how, amen, how fragile we are. Amen. If oil was to skyrocket because of a skirmish in the Middle East and the truckers and the prices went up. Amen. America depends on them 18-wheelers. Amen. Riding down the road. Think about if oil goes up or if our nation was to be bombed and our interstates, amen, were to be hammered. I would tell you, friend, we're more fragile than what we think. But you can't get Washington to see that. They think America's the greatest nation. And I do believe America has been the greatest nation. And with all of our faults, if you don't think I'm patriotic, you go back there to my study and you will see, amen, I believe in America. We boast of our fighting forces, our Navy SEALs, our Green Berets, our Rangers, our military might, and our fame has spread abroad. But yet today in America, amen, when the government's bigger than it's ever been, amen, it's said that marriage doesn't mean what God said it means. And they're aborting babies, and they're gambling. Amen. There's drug addiction everywhere. There's pornography everywhere. Yet in America, there's no valiant men that are standing up and they're thundering out righteousness. We've made our heroes out of politicians. We've made our heroes out of sport figures. We've made our heroes, amen, out of entertainment, amen, celebrities. But I want to tell you, my God, if we've ever needed some valiant men in the pulpit, it's now. If we've ever needed a John the Baptist to stand up and say it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, he stood toe to toe with Herod. He rattled their cage. He ruffled their feathers. He ruined their appetite. And what did Jesus say about him? He said he's the greatest that's ever been born of a woman. I want to tell you what
America needs is a pulpit to have revival. Amen. My God of heaven, and shake, amen, the cage. Ruffle the feathers. Ruin their appetite. And let them know without God, we're sinking. Without God, we're leprous. We need revival.
We live in a lukewarm church world. And I'm afraid some of my church folks are lukewarm. I know I can preach out there and get everybody. Amen. But that Laodicean church, that lukewarm church, Laodicea means the church where the people run. The people rule the church. Huh? It used to be like priests, like people. But now it's like people like priests. Amen. And the priests have changed it around to accommodate the crowd. Amen. Make everybody feel good about themselves. Hallelujah. Tell them they're one of God's creation, kid, one of his children. Amen. And they've not been born again and they've not been blood washed. The Laodicea means that church where the people rule. And that church is going into the great tribulation. Are you hearing me? Even that church is going to the great tribulation. They're not passing gold. They're not collecting $200. They're going straight into the great root tribulation. That lukewarm church. Are you hearing me? That's where they are going. Help me here today. I want to tell you, amen, Rush Limbaugh said this when Katrina took place. Rush Limbaugh, he's not a holiness preacher. He said when Katrina hit, he said, it's the judgment of God. Amen, there were over 120,000 homosexuals, amen, openly doing sexual acts in the street. It was decadent week. And he said, it's the judgment of God. Nobody asked God when he sent Katrina, amen, whether he could or not. Katrina meant pure. Amen. And brother, in the midst of decadence, in the midst of ungodliness, in the midst of perversion, amen, God sent a hurricane that was named Katrina. Amen. Meaning purity. I want to tell you, God is still pure. God is still holy. God is still righteous. Amen. Paul Harvey, he's gone now. But Paul Harvey said, it looks like the destruction of biblical times. Are you hearing me? But we live in a culture, Reverend. It can't be the judgment. Amen. There's a lots of good folks down there. I understand that. Amen. But it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. Lot was pulled out of Sodom, and Sodom was destroyed. Daniel was taken captive out of Jerusalem. Amen. Come on now. And after judgment, some get softer and many get harder. And I want to tell you, after 9/11, amen, America seemed to soften, but it was about a week and she got a little harder. And God has sent hurricanes. He sent earthquakes. He sent wildfires to America. But yet America, amen, is lifted up in her own arrogance. Got her censer in her hand, saying we don't need God. We can do it our own way. We can have church our own. Come on, somebody. Who's to blame? Is it the politicians? Is it the professors? Or is it the preachers? Amen. I don't know who all's to blame. Maybe a little of all of them. Amen. Or is it the parishioner? Amen. Come on now. I believe it could be all of us. But I'm telling you, if we've ever needed revival, we need it now. If he's ever needed a violent church, if he's ever needed a preacher to stand up and his church to stand up with him and say, we're not bending, we're not bowing, we're not bucking, we're not leaving, we're not shutting up, we're not giving up. We still believe in God Jehovah. We believe in his son. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! Oh. Shay and I were talking about it this morning. Amen. Just how preachers have got to the place that they don't stand for nothing. Nothing. You may like Joel Osteen, but he just, and I know Joel gets picked on, I guess, because he's the highest lightning rod on that Laodicean church. Huh? But there's a lot of little Joel Osteens all across this land that they don't want to stand against nothing. Huh? They don't care. They don't care how you come to church. Huh? Just come any old way you want to. And I don't care for sinners to come any old way they want to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, amen, when the singers in the church, amen, are looking like Cyndi Lauper and, hey, hallelujah, she's a little outdated. I don't know, Miley Cyrus. And come on now. I'm telling you, they're right here in town. There are some folks that are a part of praise and worship teams. If you've seen them outside church, you'd think, huh? Come on now. Amen. We're living in a day that preachers just, you know, they want to make people, just like in Ezekiel 13, 22, with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad. You know that worldly church out there that's lying to people that they can live any old way they want to, and they can do anything they want to, and they can transgress, and they can sin, and they can be full of their own ways, and they don't have to pick up. Hey, man, doesn't it make the righteous sad when we look at it? We're trying to live holy. We're trying to live righteous. We're trying to walk uprightly. And we look around at those that, hey, man, that are being lied to. It seems like they're prospering more than us. It'll make us sad. Hey, man, it strengthens the hands of the wicked. Come on now. I want to tell you, when people are being told they can continue to sin and come to church, wickedness is being strengthened. Amen. And then when they're strengthened, he should not return from his wicked way. Amen. That's what they do when they lie to him. Amen. They feel like they're right and they've never been born again. And they don't feel like they need to return from their wicked way because they promised them life. Amen. They say, just put Jesus in with everything else. Amen. Put Jesus in your trunk along with your lust, along with your booze, along with your cigarettes, along with everything else. Just, amen, add Jesus. Come on now. I want to tell you, God's still holy. And if he dwells in your vessel, all that which is not holy is going to go. Are y'all with me? Woo. Might be preaching to the choir. Hallelujah. But I say, oh Lord, amen, I can't, I may not be able to change everybody, but if I can change somebody, woo! Amen, I might not be able to change every parish, but if I can change the little corner of this parish, Brother Tony, I say, let it be. Amen. Come on now. Those then, Ezekiel 13, with lies, they made the heart of the righteous sad and strengthened their hands of the wicked. Amen. They encouraged the wicked threefold. Amen. Power and prevention and promise. Amen. They preached for false peace and a mock judgment. And that is where we are today. Amen. This generation is being lied to. They're being told peace, peace, when there is no peace. Their wounds are being healed slightly with a little self-help. Amen. With life support groups. Amen. Come on now. You know what a lot of them life support groups in these churches that are going so big are? They're a place where people get together and they drink coffee and they eat donuts. And they all tell about their problems. If it's men, they talk about their problems with lust. I don't know what ladies would talk about, huh? And they all tell their problems, and they act like, we can't help it. And they all feel sorry about it, huh? And it makes them feel better. And they all encourage each other a lot of times, amen, to keep on doing what they're doing. You just can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Are you hearing me? Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah said, we lie down in our shame. Our confusion covers us, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Are you hearing me? That parallel, even between our day and Jeremiah, between Uzziah and our day. Religion was a big business in Jeremiah's day. The priest and the false prophets peddled their popular brand of religion. Amen. There was enough to experience to make them happy, but there was not enough of a truth to make them holy. His main opposer was Pasher. Jeremiah's, it meant surrounded with prosperity. That's what we're fighting. A church world that has been surrounded with prosperity. They become arrogant. Amen. They forgot why they were made strong. His message was like today's pop gospel. No repentance. Why? Because the people love to have it so. That's the kind of generation that Jeremiah
Jeremiah lived in. He was the weeping prophet. He had messages from God, and nobody was listening. Nobody was paying him any mind. Amen. Human nature loves to have it so. They love their sin. They don't want repentance. They would rather follow Pasher than Jeremiah. They would rather choose Barabbas instead of Christ. 66 times Jeremiah spoke on the heart, not Pasher. He never dealt with the heart. He promised peace, protection, and prosperity. I want to tell you, friend, that's where we are. Amen, brother. It's a matter of the heart. Are you hearing me? Amos come to town. They said, Amos, we don't need you here. We don't want you here. This is the king's court. We don't need any preaching here. Amen. This is the king's court. But Amos preached holiness. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, amen, they still don't want the holiness church. They still don't want the conservative, sanctified, Bible-believing, sin-killing, devil-chasing, commandment-abiding church either. But I want to tell you, even though we look around and it causes our heart to be sad, I want to tell you, brother, weeping may endure, but for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Are you hearing me here today? I'm telling you, we can have revival. But you got to have somebody that's willing to stand up and say, hey, this is where we are. Woo! I feel the Lord. You may be tired. I'm almost through. You may be weary. Hebrews said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I know America, like Uzziah, has took that censer in their hand. Oh, it breaks my heart to see where we as a nation have come. I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking Democrat, Republican, Tea Party, Libertarian Party. I've had my full fill of that. Are you hearing me? If the church don't have revival, we are sunk. Come on now. You can't lead a nation, amen, to be and prosper when you hate Christians and you're sympathetic to Muslims. Do I have an amen? You can't prosper. I don't care how strong your army is. We don't have any money. That's all smoke and mirrors. Amen. But I want to tell you, that Laodicean church will be spewed out. But that Philadelphia church, that church of brotherly love, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them. The apostles writing to the church of the faithful, he will keep you. Amen. Are you hearing me? From tribulation. But he's not going to keep you in it. Are you hearing me? I know about the 70 weeks of Israel. But since the church wasn't in that 70 weeks, amen, brother, we didn't come into existence until after the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord. The church was born at Calvary, or born at Pentecost. And since we weren't in the 69 weeks, we're not going to be in the 70th week either. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. He's coming for his church. Are you hearing me? Amen. I know the church has stopped God's prophetic clock, and God's been saving, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I'm telling you, the time of the Gentile is just about over. Amen. The time of the age of grace is just about over. Jesus is getting ready, amen, to come again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout at the voice of the archangel. I know there's church churches that have been seduced. I know there's churches that are nothing more than a form. Amen. But I want to tell you, just like that train load of metal, when they come into that depot and they take that big crane with that magnet on top of it, amen, and they put it down on that metal, amen, and that which is attracted to that magnet has the right stuff, amen, it's pulled out of there and the rest of it falls in the bin. I want to tell you, brother, let the wheat and the tares grow up together, but there's coming a day the trumpet's going to sound, and they that are righteous and they that are holy and they that are pure, they're going to rise to meet him in the air. The dead in Christ arise first. I wish somebody would shout amen. I know we're sad. I know it seems a worldly church is taking this and taking that. Amen. But I say they can have this world, but give me Jesus. Give me heaven. Give me, oh, glory be to God. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Sister Boyd, if you will. Woo! It, Brother Tony Nolan, is almost over. Amos, get out of here. This is the king's court. Go back to gathering sycamore figs or whatever he said. Huh? You ain't welcome here. We don't need any of that repentance preaching. We don't need any of that preaching that makes us feel bad. This is the king's court. That's kind of where we are. You ever see TBN? I don't have a TV. Don't really watch it. Ain't seen it forever, but I have seen it before. And they all sit up there in their gold chairs. Huh? Their Italian, $2,500 Italian suits. Huh? And they all talk about God and live like devils. Get someone up there to preach and tell everybody what they want to hear. And they go crazy. Woo! You let an old preacher like me come out of the little town of Sterlington. Is that I'm going to preach a little repentance. I'm going to preach a little hellfire. I'm going to preach a little holiness. And they say, hey, this is the king's court. And we're king's kids. And you ain't welcome here. Oh, that's right. Amen. Because the world loves their own. Are you hearing me? They will hear their own. Amen. But whatsoever is born of God, amen, loveth. Hallelujah. How do you know you pass from death unto life? When you love the brethren. I wish somebody in this house would help me preach. Amen. I want to tell you it's almost over. Would you stand? I tell you it's almost over. You may be sad. Amen. It's seeing the wicked prosper. Amen. But God said, Abraham, come out from among them. He told Noah, come in to the ark. He told Zacchaeus, amen, come down out of that tree. And in a few more weary days, and then he's going to tell the church, come up a little higher. Hallelujah. That's what we're living for. America has become barbaric. For 94 years, secular humanism and secular philosophy has warped and brainwashed generations. And we are barbaric. Huh? It doesn't matter, Sister Douglas, white or black or brown or red, man without Christ and without morals or without God cannot be moral and upstanding. Man without Christ is barbaric. Amen. Uzziah went on in there and he was struck with leprosy. Let me tell you what, our great country has been smote with leprosy. It's been a slow dying death.
But it's killing us. Somebody's got to step in like Azariah. He's got to have 80 valiant men that stood behind him. Whoa. What in the world would a preacher do if he had 80 behind him saying, "We're with you, preacher"? Huh? Azariah come followed right in behind the king. He said, "You ain't supposed to be here. It ain't your business." And he turned around and he seen Azariah and 80 behind him standing flat-footed with their shoulders squared and their heads erect and looking right at him. You know what he did? He got mad. Huh? Usually when somebody's guilty, that's what they do. They get mad. He went to go ahead and do what he's going to do. And you know what happened? Right in front of them all. Leprosy. Let's lift our hands over the building. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Lord here today. Oh, let's not be discouraged in well-doing. Let's be the salt right here in Sterlington. Let's be the light right here in Sterlington. Be the light where you are. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't change Times Square, Sister Stacy. I'm not there. I can't change Westwood and Los Angeles near the UCLA campus where there's all kinds of wickedness. I can't change that because I'm not there. But I can change this town. And they may do me like they do Jeremiah, put me down in a pit. They may do me like Amos and say, "We don't need you around here." But there's going to come a day they're going to wish they would have listened. Those that have bypassed holiness for prosperity and pleasure. There's going to come a day that they're going to wish that they would have lived holy lives. Amen. Let's gather around these altars here today. Amen. Seek the Lord. Ask God to make you to be a witness. Ask God to brighten your light. Ask God to make you salt. Ask God to season you with salt in the name of Jesus. Amen.